How are you guys all doing?
Okay, good. I got a few goods. I guess everyone else is just okay. Cool. Well,
offering's going around. I wasn't here last weekend. If you guys were wondering where I went to Taiwan to visit some family. If you've never been to Taiwan, boba there is only $1 or $2. So, it's a lot cheaper there. It's also, if you've never been there before, it's hot and it's also humid. So if you've never been in that kind of weather before, what happens is when you step outside, within about 5 minutes, you start sweating a lot. And so if you've never been there before, I encourage you to go check out what a humid tropical weather is like. Also, what's really cool is that while I was gone, I felt like I wasn't really gone, because if you don't know, they're starting to record these videos of a sermon. So I was able to watch Pastor Chang's sermon last week through this. So if you don't know and you're away, you can watch a lot of our sermons at Ignite at our YouTube page. If you just check out Ignite RLCC, you should be able to find it. So in case you've missed a week or you just want to rewatch something, if you want to hear it again, you can go check out that page. So I was like, that's cool. You know, I guess that's one benefit of recording, is that when you're not here, you get to like catch up as if you didn't miss anything. Cool. So I'm going to start off with a prayer, and then we're going to get into it. Dear God, I just pray, thank you that I was able to come back safely, and I just pray you just help me to speak to people today, and I just pray, Lord, just help me to speak what you've prepared in my heart, Lord God, to speak to the congregation today, and help to use me to speak adequately, and and to be able to touch people, Lord God, today, and to minister to people. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last time I was here was 2 weeks ago, and I preached about some of the side effects, right, of when you walk with the Lord and you serve God. And one of those side effects that I mentioned was that there's going to be maybe a certain period of your time where you may feel some loneliness among other people when you walk with the Lord, or when you serve God. And so today I wanted to talk about another side effect that I've learned, experienced through my journey with the Lord, and hopefully I want to share with you guys and maybe encourage you guys as well. Okay. So another side effect that happens when you walk with the Lord and you serve the Lord is that at some point in time you may feel some sense of overwhelm, like a feeling of being overwhelmed, or a sense of burden or a weight on your shoulders, right? So you notice a lot of times when people, I don't know if you notice that, but sometimes when you see people who serve a lot, they start walking with a little bit more of a hunch. Like even, I notice that sometimes even with me, like sometimes I'll be like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh man, this is like, oh, it's getting heavy on my shoulders. And what happens is a lot of times when you walk with the Lord and you serve God, there will be certain times where you do feel a certain burden or a certain weight, you know, a sense of overwhelm, a feeling of being overwhelmed. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit today. And similar to loneliness, oftentimes when we feel this, right, we naturally associate, because it doesn't feel good, so we associate that as like bad, right? Because naturally when we feel, okay, it doesn't feel good, it must be bad, I want to get rid of it ASAP, as soon as possible. And oftentimes, it's part of the journey. And so a lot of times when we do feel a weight or a burden, you know, it doesn't feel good, it feels heavy. So there's this tendency where you're like, okay, I want to get rid of this feeling right away because it doesn't feel good, it must be bad. But I kind of want to share with you today that it is something that happens inevitably as you continue to walk with the Lord and serve God. And, you know, sometimes I think about like, well, why did God put this on my heart to preach? And I've mentioned before, a lot of times I feel like I'm just preaching to myself. So, you know, and God, I just trust that the Lord will use this to also touch other people. And, you know, a lot of these things that I share, it's probably at some point in time I'm experiencing currently or I've experienced in the past. And I trust that the Lord through me is also sharing with you guys and helping you guys as well. So if today there's certain people that may be feeling this, hopefully you guys will be encouraged by this message. So the first verse I want to go to is Matthew chapter 26, 36 to 39. So Matthew 26 to 36 to 39. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So Jesus, he makes this prayer right before he is about to go on the cross. And you'll notice there in the verse that we just read, it mentioned in 38 that his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Right? So Jesus had this feeling of being overwhelmed. This huge weight was on his shoulder for what he was about to do. And he even prayed if it was possible for this cup to pass. So if there was any possibility that he doesn't have to experience this, he's like, please let it so that I don't have to experience this. And the reason why I wanted to bring this extreme example is because, you know, Jesus is without sin. There's no fault of his own, right? He lived the life that God wanted him to live. Yet, even in this journey that God wanted him to live, he experienced a feeling of overwhelming sorrow. Right, so I like to use Jesus always as the extreme example, right? Most likely, none of us will experience it to this degree. But I wanted to use Jesus as an example is that, hey, this is something that does happen in your natural progression in the walk with the Lord. At some point in time, even at no fault of your own, you're just following the guidance of what the Lord has instructed you to do in your life. You may feel some sense of overwhelming feeling. And so what I really wanted to look at today is I wanted to look at another person who felt like this. A lot of times when it comes to other people in the Bible, it may be a little bit more relatable because, you know, unlike Jesus, they had some faults and they had some sin. And a lot of times we may be able to relate to those people a little bit easier. So I wanted to use Jesus as an extreme example that this does happen. And today I wanted to look a little bit more into the life of Moses and how Moses, he experienced an overwhelming sense of burden and weight on his shoulders. And what did he deal with? And how did he deal with it? So if you don't know about Moses, so Moses is a servant of God in the Old Testament. And God used Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. They were slaves in Egypt. And they brought them out of slavery using Moses. And so, but they were wandering around the desert for like 40 years. And God supernaturally provided manna for them to eat during this time. Right? If you don't know, I've never eaten manna, but from what I've heard, it's probably some form of bread. So it's like they're eating a lot of bread all the time. Right? So I'm just setting up that story, and now we're gonna read Numbers chapter 11, 10 to 24. And so this is a lot of verses, but I wanted to read the whole verse so that we can get this whole picture of what's happening with Moses and the Israelites while they're in the desert. Numbers 11, 10 to 24. Moses heard the people of every family walking at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. When you will eat meat, the Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just 1 day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did you ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand before the tent, around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he spoke, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. So when I was reading this, and I don't know, maybe everyone visualizes the story a little differently, but I'm going to just share with you my visualizations and how what I was visualizing when I was reading this story. First, I was a little sympathetic to the Israelites, because if I had to eat bread for so many years, maybe, you know, I don't want to say I'm holier than other people. I probably would have started complaining a little bit too. Like, oh my goodness, I wish I also had meat. People probably know, some people may think I'm a particular eater. So I have a severe personality there. So, you know, if I only had one choice of food, I think, you know, it would be tough. I probably at some point in time, I would start to mentally break and be like, okay, I want meat too. So, you know, in some ways, I kind of understand why the Israelites were like that. I also read this, and I felt like Moses kind of sounds like a drama king, right? It's interesting because at least Moses keeps it real, because he's the one who wrote this book. He wrote Numbers. So a lot of times he's just writing about himself, right? It's not like another person is writing about him. He's writing this. He's writing his own feelings. He's not necessarily always painting himself in the most greatest light. He writes and shows people his true feelings and his flaws. And for me, I always felt this when I was reading it, I was like, especially there's particular parts like 10 to in verses 10 to 15. You know, he mentions, did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant? Right? He's complaining to God, like, why do I have to be responsible for these people? Right? It's not like I'm their mother. I'm not the person. I'm not their nurse. But why am I being treated like someone that has to do that? And he gets really, really dramatic in verse 15 where he just says, just go ahead and kill me. And it just seems like, man, this is really dramatic. Like whatever he was feeling, whatever weight or whatever pressure, whatever sense of agony or sorrow he was feeling, it was so strong. He was just like, God, I can't take it anymore. Just go ahead and kill me if you found favor in your eyes. I was like, man, this is like really, really strong language. I don't think anybody uses this kind of language. So I was really surprised when I was reading. I was like, oh, Moses is using this kind of language. And then when God tells them that about he's going to give them so much meat that they will loathe, you know, one of his responses is that in verse 21 is, how is that possible? How are you going to provide so much meat that you can provide for us for a whole month? There's not enough fish in the sea for that. And it's interesting because it's like Moses has seen all the great things that God has done. He's seen God part the Red Sea. And even now, he's like, God, I have no idea how you're going to do that. How are you going to provide all this meat for a whole month for over 600,000 men? But I'm thinking, you know what? You know, that sense of burden, that overwhelming, that weight on his shoulder must have been really real to say all those things. It was so heavy. And I was thinking about, you know what? You know, I thought about it a little bit more. You know, it's kind of understandable. I thought about it a little more. It mentions in the verse that he needed to provide meat for over 600,000 men. And when they're defining men at that time, these are like able-bodied men. And so people have guessed that if you had to project the population of the Israelites at the time that he was leading, it was probably around 2.4 million people. So you can imagine that he is leading 2.4 million people in the middle of the desert, and all of them are probably like complaining it to him, like, we want meat, this sucks. I want to go back to Egypt. Egypt was better. And you can imagine, he's probably just like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And if you guys have ever experienced any type of form of leadership, even when there's one person complaining, it already kind of bugs you, right? But imagine 2.4 million people. I mean, I guess I can, it's a lot more understandable. Like, okay, I guess, I can't even imagine how much weight is on Moses' shoulder. And he's probably thinking too, this is like no fault of my own either. Like, I'm just following the Lord. The Lord told me to go and set his people free. He goes and he follows the Lord. He continues to follow the Lord. And now following the Lord leads him to the desert. And following the Lord leads him to this situation where the people are turning against him. And he's probably feeling, why? Like, what is going on? Why do I have to shoulder this burden? And so it mentions also in verses 14, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. And I often think about, like, why is there burden? Why does he feel burden? Why do all of us feel burden? Why do all of us feel a sense of being overwhelmed? And the thought that came to my head when I was thinking about this question is, the reason why we feel a sense of burden, especially as God has continued to give you more and more responsibility, is that your actions start to have consequences. And your actions will actually impact people. And, you know, if an analogy is like when you play a game, right? When you play a game and there's nothing on the line, everyone's pretty casual, it's carefree. But the moment there's consequences, the moment when someone puts money or there's some kind of prize, suddenly everything becomes a lot different. Everyone becomes a lot more tense. Everyone starts becoming a lot more aggressive. You know, I think if you ever played poker with people, when you don't play with actual money, it just seems like everyone always goes all in. But the moment you put real money in, your fingers just get a little bit more sweaty, right? You're not going to go all in all the time anymore. Or if you're playing video games, if you're just playing casually with friends, you know, it's just for fun. Everyone's having a good time. But the moment you play for like ladder or for some kind of ranking, oh man, you get stressed and you get really mad. And if someone's bothering you on your computer, like if you're brother or sister walks by the room or your parents are trying to get you off, you start snapping at them. You're like, you don't understand, this is really important. And that's what happens, is that a lot of times when we feel this burden or this overwhelming sense that we can't handle everything, it's because you start to know that there's consequences to your actions, that what you do will impact other people. And then you also start to realize, too, that your decisions will not make everyone happy. There's always going to be some person that loves the decision you made, and there's always going to be somebody who strongly dislikes the decision you made, and there's going to be a lot of people who are in the middle who is kind of like, I'm okay with whatever's. And so all this, the people and their feelings and all this, it kind of starts to weigh on you because, you know, maybe there's a part of us that we want to make everyone happy. We want to make sure everyone's doing well. And a lot of times it's impossible to make everyone happy. There's always going to be whatever action you make, there's always going to be some people who love it and some people who don't like it. And it weighs on you. And it's interesting because The better job that you do, a lot of times when you're given responsibility, is that you're given even more. So you feel it even more. And it's interesting because a lot of times you feel like, well, I did a good job, now I'm going to feel it's over. But in reality, if you do a good job, you end up getting more. In some ways, you feel even more of it. And if you don't deal with it in a healthy way, it becomes really unhealthy. Right? It becomes like a weight on your shoulder. You start walking with like a hunch because it just becomes so heavy. And so what did Moses do? You know, what did Moses do when he felt that? I think the first thing that I got from this scripture is that Moses brought it before God. Right? He told God how he was feeling. He didn't, you know, bottle up inside. And I remember I mentioned last time when I was preaching is that you just got to be honest before the Lord. Right? You tell him how you're feeling. And I was sharing, like, you know, when I pray as well, I don't pray like the way I'm speaking right here in front of you. I'm just pretty real. I tell God, this is how I'm feeling. I might not be as dramatic as Moses, but, you know, I might use some of similar languages, right? And it's okay to be honest with the Lord, to bring your frustrations or to bring your burdens or to bring that weight before the Lord. A second thing that I found that was interesting is that Moses delegated, or more accurately, you can say God delegated for Moses. When you do start feeling an overwhelming sense of burden, responsibility, or sorrow, to be able to delegate and to share it with others, to share the burden or the load with others. It mentions in the scripture that Moses shared the power of the Spirit. You know, it's interesting because I wonder what would happen if Moses refused to do that. Like, he was like, no, God, I don't want to do that. What would have happened? You know, I don't know. But oftentimes, maybe the Lord is giving you an opportunity to share your burdens with others. And how many times have we just kind of like, no, it's cool. I'm going to keep it to myself. You know, this weight that holds you down, if you want to continue to go up, right, if you want to stand up straight, you have to be able to share that weight with others or to cut some of that weight off. You have to be able to delegate to other people. And I know it's, I don't know why, but it is a hard thing for us to delegate. I thought about it, you know, at work, when you have someone that's not able to delegate, or is not able to let go, right? What do we usually call those people, right? So if they're on the manager side, you usually call those people micromanagers. And if they're not in the manager position, they're probably usually called bottlenecks, right? And those are people that they can't delegate, they can't let go. I don't know why. Maybe it's some weird sort of pride, or you know, maybe it feels like it's weakness to tell people I need help or I need you to help me. But I want to encourage anyone here who's feeling some sense of being overwhelmed to be able to delegate, to let other people share in your burden. And for a lot of us, when we are our God, you know, for a lot of you, ministry might be in the work field or in the workplace. But I want to say that whether your ministry is in the workplace or your ministry is here at church, that at any point in time, when you start feeling a sense of overwhelmness, that you can't handle it, to think about maybe that's a sign that, hey, I need to start delegating or I need to be able to share the responsibility. And that's something I have to remind myself too. You know, a lot of times I speak all these things because I experience them myself. I don't know, a lot of times when there's a lot of work or I feel like I just want to like do it myself and I try to do it myself. I don't want to bother other people. And I feel like the Lord continues to remind me that, hey, Jason, at any time that you feel overwhelmed, just to trust others and to delegate. And it's not just physical responsibilities, but sometimes also to trust people emotionally, to share with maybe some of the emotional struggles I have too. right? To delegate, to share in the burden together, all of us together, whether it's physical responsibilities or emotional. And so it's something that I'm learning too. And you know, in order for something like this to continue to run, it's not just one person. It's like a whole team, a whole collection of people. And in order to be able to do that, we have to be able to delegate and to trust other people. So that's, I guess, maybe you can think of practical, okay, delegate. And then last but not least, I think almost every sermon, every kind of thing when people talk about, personal issues, it always goes back to Jesus, right? So last but not least, I gotta say, is that you have to trust Jesus. You have to trust God. Right? In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, the scripture that tells us that all who are weary and burdened may come to Christ for rest. There's another kind of yoke. There's the yoke of the law that Jesus was referring to. And that yoke made demands without adequate empowerment for its obedience. But Jesus is referring to another type of yoke that actually has a greater demand, right? He actually even gives a higher standard than the previous law gave. But the difference is that he provides a greater empowerment through the Holy Spirit, so that we're able to experience that this yoke is easy and his burden is light, right? The previous yoke did not give us that empowerment, but Jesus does. And Jesus, through Jesus, you know, God hears our prayers and he helps us. He makes it so that we can get through whatever we are going through. It's interesting. It's because, you know, I first started off in this passage with when he's praying at the garden. And in Luke's version of that story, in Luke chapter 22 to 42 to 43, it mentions, okay, Jesus prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." But right after he makes that prayer, God answers that prayer. And he says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. You know, when you reach out to God for help, he will help you. Thank you. And, you know, I was reminded of all this week because, you know, I was praying. I came back from Taiwan and I was praying and I just felt a sense of being overwhelmed. You know, when there's more people, there's more things to do, and you know, people probably often look to you for direction, and sometimes I feel overwhelmed because I'm like, I'm a pretty like chill dude. I feel like I'm more of a relaxed kind of person. It's interesting because I feel like God has given me talents, but maybe inside my ambitions is somewhat of I'm low ambition, maybe more talent. You know, some people are high talent, high ambition. It's like a really good combo. Some people are high ambition, low talent, probably not the greatest combo. And I might be the opposite, where it's high talent, low ambition. So sometimes I think people will come to me and think, like, oh, I'm really ambitious, or I really like, you know, let's do this, do that. And I'll be like, oh, okay. And I do, sometimes I feel a sense of being overwhelmed. Like, I don't know, like, what I do. And I remember I was just praying in my quiet time, and I was just praying, and I was like, God, I don't feel good right now. I feel overwhelmed. And I feel like the Lord was telling me at that time after my prayer, he was saying, Jason, it's okay that you don't feel okay. And I was like, oh man, you know, that's sounds deep. Like, and I thought about it, like, you know what? Oh, yeah, maybe it's okay that I don't feel okay. Because a lot of times what I associate is that I'm because I don't feel okay, then suddenly something's wrong or something's bad. And it's interesting because the next day I heard on K-Love, there's this song, and like the lyrics would say, maybe it's okay if I'm not okay. Maybe it's all right if I'm not all right. And I was like, what? And it's interesting because I listen to K-Love a lot, and I don't remember hearing this. I mean, it's just like randomly the next day I heard this. I was like, one, I was thinking like, well, maybe God says the same thing to everybody. But also I was like, wow, like God is speaking to me. Like, oh, maybe it's okay that I'm not okay. And the reason is because, you know, also in that quiet time, I feel like God followed up and reminded me of that scripture, Matthew 11:28, to come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the reason why it's okay that we're not okay is because of Jesus. He is the one that helps us to get through our burdens. He is the one that is able to make the yoke easy and the burden light. And I was reminded that no matter what, God somehow, some way will get me through all the toughest circumstances. Right? And he'll get you through your toughest circumstances. And he reminded me of two situations where when I look back, I'm like, I have no idea how I got through that. And I think oftentimes you'll know that that's when God is working in your life, is because you will look back and you'll be like, I have no idea how I got through that. But somehow, some way, I got through it. So I wanted to share these two examples, or depending on how much time. I thought about giving you guys a multiple choice, okay? So did you guys want to hear my example when it came for work, or do you want to come for my example when it came to church? Okay. All right. I'll go through. That was a quick response. All right. Anybody else? Any other opinion? Okay, so we're going to just go with church. And like I said before, every decision you make, not everyone's going to be happy with it. Right, when it came to church, you know, something that I thought, you know, came to mind is, for some of you guys weren't here during that period, but for maybe half of you guys were here. But there was a period before I was zone pastor that we had a transition period for 2 years. And at that time, I was, you know, the chairman of Ignite. That was the title that the people at Senior Up, they gave me. And, you know, for those 2 years, we didn't have a pastor. And, you know, at that time when I was doing chairman, I was also working full time as a finance manager. And, you know, at that time, every single week we had a rotating speaker. Like, every single week we had a different speaker up. And I was thinking to myself, how did we pull that off? You know, like, can you imagine every single week for somehow God was able to give us a different speaker? Like, when I think about it now, like, I don't know how that was possible. And when I think about, like, how we were able for a lot of us to stay together and believe in what we were doing, I was like, that is truly amazing. That is something only God can do. And, you know, for 2 years, and I look back and I think, you know, if I was asked to do that again, I'm thinking there is no way I'll be able to do that. I have no idea how to do that. But somehow, some way, God was able to provide for us. And somehow, some way, it made a lot of us stronger and tougher. And during that season, I also grew a lot as well. And I'm assuming a lot of you grew as well, too. And, you know, for the people that were here, and I think when you look back, you will probably also feel the same. And for the people who were not here, just trust me. It really was praise the Lord moments after moments after moments. And, you know, I was reminded of that when I was praying, that, you know, I will continue to provide somehow, some way. You just continue to trust me. Continue just to go before me. Let me know your burdens. Let me know what's going on. Trust me, and I will provide. And hopefully that was an encouragement to you guys as well. I do feel like maybe for some of us, we're starting to feel that as well. Because as there's more people, there's probably more expectations. As also as we get older, there's probably more expectations. And sometimes it may feel very overwhelming. And I wanted to encourage you guys that just put it before God. God will get you through it.